We're going to talk to the boys and the girls. Where are you? You're all happy looking this morning. You're not at school. How many sad this morning because school's off? Now, you've got to tell the truth, remember. Oh, there's not a hand raised. Well, I want to tell you, boys and girls, this morning about a man whom I got to know very, very well in one of the churches where I served. And he was a lovely man. His wife was a lovely person. His family were four girls. The family was lovely. And I was involved in three of their weddings. But it's the man that I want to talk to you about this morning. He's very, a man greatly interested in doing physical activity, exercise. He would have got up early in the morning and went away out walking around the hills and so on. He was very particular about his person. And he was a religious man because he went to church. But he told me on a few occasions about a practice that he had. And the practice was this, that because he was a fireman, and if maybe there's a fireman or a firewoman in the meeting this morning, you've got to include the women now, so be careful. If there's a fire person, you might know this man. But he was a fireman. And when he went on holiday, wherever he went, as I understand it, he had something that he always took with him. Of course, he took his suitcase and that kind of thing. But there was something else that he took. And I was very interested in this story because this is the kind of thing that he took. He took a rope. And he wasn't making any fun about it. He was dead serious. Always, when he went on holiday, he took a rope. And actually, he was so serious about it that he got a porch built onto his bungalow. And I've been there, and it's there. The idea was that if a fire started, people could climb out of the windows and get onto the roof and be saved. He had a terrible fear of fire. And that's why he always carried the rope, so that this would be one means of escaping, of being rescued. He had this dread of fire. Well, that's understandable, probably because of what he had witnessed and experienced over the years. It was something that terrified him and caused him to fear. Lovely man. But then he took ill. And he took very ill. The problem was that although he went to church, although he probably read his Bible, although he was very religious, although he was very upright, such a nice type of person, yet he was not a Christian. He wasn't a Christian in the Bible sense. He wasn't a Christian in the sense that at some time in his life, he had been made aware of his own sinfulness and his own state before God, and had realized that Jesus Christ came from heaven for a specific purpose. He came to give his life. He came to die for sinners. He came to deal with our sin. But this man didn't realize that. It hadn't dawned upon him. And so he wasn't a Christian. In that sense, he wasn't a follower of Christ. He couldn't say, as we sing in our meetings, "I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me." And I know that not only older people, but very young people can tell you how they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've got to the place where they've realized that they needed Jesus, they needed to be saved, and they've trusted him, boys and girls and young people. But this man This never happened to him. And now he's very ill. Now he's in hospital. And now there's no hope. And the family's got really interested. They always had been interested. But the girls were really exercised. They were all believers. And amongst other people, different people went to the hospital to talk to this good man about salvation. And I visited him on a number of occasions and found it very difficult. He was so religious. And he sort of agreed with you in so many things. I found it very difficult to really talk to him, to sort of get the truth over to him. And I was with others, were praying about him and praying for him and thinking about him. And then one day I was going to visit him. And I thought I would take something with me. And so I went to visit him. And he usually was always so friendly, so welcoming. And I sat and chatted for a while. And then I reminded him about the rope. Oh, and then if you talked about that, he really brought him to life. Because that had been his life, the fire in that. And so we chatted a little bit about the rope. And I said, any rope nearly that you would have, I never saw the rope that he had. Any rope that you would have, I said, would be, well, it would be a bit bulky anyhow. I'm sure it probably maybe was a stronger rope than this is. And I said, it probably would be a bit more bulky, a bulky kind of thing. I said, could you not have had some kind of a substitute? Could you not have something in its place? And he looked at me, you know, I suppose he thought I was half crazy. And then I said, but I have a suggestion. I said, when you get well again, hopefully in the goodness of God, and you're going on holiday, instead of taking this bulky rope, I said, I have brought something with me, and I'm going to give it to you. And I said, here it is. A piece of strong cord. And I said, there'd be a great difference between the rope, the size of the rope, the bulk of the rope and so on, and the cord. Well, very soon he was smiling at me. I said, yes, I know it seems ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But I said, you know, there are so many people, and you're one of them. And you're afraid of the fire. And maybe you're afraid of the eternal fire, the judgment, the wrath of God. And how do you escape it? And there's only one way to escape it, and it's by using God's rope, and I say that reverently. But I said, you know, so many substitute the cord of good works, respectability, and other things. And we had a good conversation. He was a very open kind of man, willing to talk. And you know what? Sometime after that, other people were talking to him. Sometime after that, I got a lovely letter from that dear man in hospital to tell me that the light had dawned, that the truth had come, and that he had been brought to the place where he had trusted Christ as his Savior. And today he's in the glory. He went home to heaven sometime after that. The tragedy is that so many are depending on substitutes, and it's foolish. Jesus said, I am the way. And there's no other way. No matter what anybody thinks or says, there's only one way, boys and girls, young people, to heaven. And Jesus is the way. And we need to trust him.